Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Bennington, Vermont. This talk, presented on Sunday, August 4th, 2024, is a panel discussion led by Suzanne Kirkpatrick on the topic of the Chalice Circle Experience.
We're here today as members of the most recent Chalice Circle to provide a brief... I'll provide a brief introduction, and then the members of our circle will each comment on one of the chapters from Soul to Soul. That's the book that offered the framework for our discussions. Each book, the book is broken into 14 themes. Each person will present or talk about thoughts that they had about one of the themes. We focused on one theme at each hour and a half session, sessions that met every other week. The introduction asked us to listen deeply to each other and care for each other, partly by refraining from judgments and I quote, listening from the heart rather than the mind or the ego. Our job was to listen without responding. We were not to solve a problem. We were to encourage deeper stories with our interest and concern. The goal is to build deeper connections, allowing members to tell thick stories, that's quote two, ones that build deeper connections and feed the soul. So with that introduction, I will pass the mic to Magdalena, who is not going to come up here, but is going to sit down.
I am going to read a poem that I absolutely love from Francis of Assisi, which I think this poem tells you all kinds of things that you can do to be compassionate. And I have read it many times in my life, trying to remember what I should do to be a nice person. So let me read it to you. Now, I personally think that Francis of Assisi was a great man. I don't call it Saint Francis because I think it's nonsense. But here is the poem. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring love. When there is offense, let me bring pardon. Where there is discord, let me bring union. Where there is error, let me bring truth. Where there is doubt, let me bring faith. Where there is despair, let me bring hope. Where there is darkness, let me bring your light. Where there is sadness, let me bring joy. O Master, let me not seek as much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. Because for it is in giving that one receives, it is in forgetting, in self-forgetting that one finds. It is in pardoning that one is pardoned. So.
Okay. Trust. So, of course, in a circle like we were in, being able to trust one another with your thoughts, to not be judged, to that your personal things that you say are not going to be taken somewhere else. That's a really important part of the circle. For the book was a good guideline, I didn't pull anything from the book about trust in particular because I had kind of researched trust before. And my favorite person from Houston, one of the glories of being in Houston was that Brené Brown is a teacher there. She's one of my favorite people. So she has investigated the ideas of shame. And then, of course, she went into trust. And I think her breakdown of trust is one of the best ones. So I wanted to share that with you. So she actually, in her video, she has that trust. She has a definition of trust that she came up with, and it's choosing to make something important to you vulnerable to the actions of someone else. And so by doing so, it's an act of bravery to trust. You're putting yourself out there. and that's hard sometimes. We build little walls around ourselves, make ourselves safe. And to trust means to get past those walls. And then her definition of distrust, what I have shared with you that is important to me is not safe with you. So that's just kind of the general, like what is trust and what is distrust? She came up with a thing called BRAVING, and it's an acronym, BRAVING, comes up with. Her ideas about what she thought was important. B is for boundaries. And this was the hardest one for me. I have no boundaries. I have to figure it out, though, because it's not good for you. And it's one of the main things on this thing list. I really like this, synopsis of what she says, because of course her video is like an hour and a half long, so I'm not going to be doing all of that. This is like, don't overcommit. It's okay to say no. And what that does is it means that you don't end up promising to do something that you just don't have the spoons to do. So that boundary, it sounds like it's easy. I'll just set this boundary. But, of course, people like to push boundaries, so you have to be firm. And also, it's kind of hard sometimes to know exactly what you're going to be able to do. So that means you have to have a lot of self-awareness to know what your boundaries should be. And that was difficult for me, all through my life. Okay. R is for reliability. Do what you say you'll do and follow through. And of course, reliability is not, I did this thing for you today and I flaked off all the other days. It's a consistent, it's a consistency thing. You have to do it over and over and over to create reliability. That's just the definition of it. Accountability, take ownership of what you've done wrong. So if you're in a trusting relationship, you have to be able to say, I messed up, and this is what I did. And that has, if you're in a trusting relationship, you should be allowed to do that and make amends. If you're always walking on eggshells because you feel like you can't make a mistake, then you're just not in a trusting relationship. Vault is the V, and this was another one that I really struck me, and that is, only share what's yours to share. And like she says, she said we use information to hardwire relationships. So you're like, that's the whole gossip thing. Oh, did you hear about Susie? things are bad. You're sharing something that doesn't belong to you in order to hardwire that connection with someone else. So that vault is important. I, for integrity, have open, honest conversations. And she had a definition of integrity, which I liked. And it was choosing courage over comfort, choosing what's right over what is fun, fast, or easy, and practicing your values and not just talking about them. So it has to be in actions as well as words. Non-judgment, that one's a hard one too, because a lot of us like to be helpers, but we don't want to be on the other end of it. So being a helper is a position of power in a way. She kind of like goes into that, and being able to, she calls it fall apart, being able to mess up and not judge yourself. And that was the hardest thing for me, is that judging of myself. But that means that you also judge other people, because you can't possibly view other people in a different way than how you're, you know, viewing yourself. So if you're not giving yourself that grace, then you're really not giving it to other people either. Generosity is the last one, and that means assuming best intentions. And that is one that I have had to grow into using social media because, of course, in social media, you can, like, somebody says a little, pops off a little thing, and then you're, like, starting a fight. I don't know. So the idea is to be like, I know this person didn't mean that in the way that I'm taking it, and that means you have to communicate with them. I took it this way, but I think you're not meaning it that way. So you start a conversation about that.
Okay, so next, Jim chose the chapter play. So he'll tell us his take on play.
Well, before I start, I'd like to say that we had done a couple of chalice circles in Houston, and we really enjoyed them. When this one started, I was hesitant because I was the only man in the group, and I know that men tend to overspeak women, and that women feel freer to speak in only female presences. But I stuck with it, and I'm glad I did, that one of the other members had put out a basic need that she really needed. And one of the rules is don't speak about what other people say, so I won't be specific, but it was something that was relatively easy for us all to give to her. And I'm really glad that we were able to hear what she said, take in that need, and immediately give it to her. And the other thing that I really like about chalice circles is it's a way to get to know someone. And we're new here, so we don't know anybody. So it was a way to get to know some people more in depth than how's the weather, how's your, you know, garden, whatever. So I chose play, and as some of you may know, that I've been trying to get board game night going, and I'll get you. You will show up. So to start with, the definition of play that is in the book that we used was anything done for the joy of it is play. So singing, dancing, acting, playing in your garden, pulling the weeds, if you do it for the joy of it, is technically play. Some of the benefits of play is the definition, it helps find a lightness of being. Our time in the last 8 years has really been a downer. I don't know, there's something that's been going on that's just been bringing us all down, and we've all suddenly in the last month felt a lightness. I don't know where that came from. But play in general can help us with those types of things. Play will help keep you flexible. And depending on the play, it will keep your body flexible, it will keep your mind flexible, it will keep your views flexible. It can help you with compassion. It is good for helping with problem solving. I worked with a gentleman in Houston who could not make a decision to save his life. He had never had to. He'd always been with someone else who made his decisions, and play can help you with that decision-making process. It involves you with new people. When we sit around, I like to play board games, role-playing games. You sit around a table. It's not your turn, so you start up a side conversation. You meet new ideas. You can develop new empathies. And as humans, we are one of the few creatures that can build new brain cells. And play is one of the things that will help us with that. And as we all get older... if you look at this group, we're all older. We all need to build new brain cells to help deal with the ones that we've lost over the decades that we've been there. So if you get an opportunity, I'm sure there'll be another opportunity to join the next Chalice Circle. I would highly recommend it. And like a lot of things in life, you're going to get out of it what you put into it. And I'm glad I did it.
The book itself was beautifully done with so many wonderful quotes and different ideas. And any one subject matter, like compassion or prayer, had like this whole variety pack in it. So you could almost always find something that you go, oh, yeah, that. But not that. And sometimes a chapter, I think, really rang with somebody, either because it was a challenge or because it was like, oh, yeah, this is me, you know. So that was kind of cool. But the other thing about chalice circles and about really almost anything we do together when we come together to explore in religious education is this chance to listen deeply to, and it's hard, you know. There was a great... impressive ability to try and not to always succeed, but to say, well, you know, I'm going to not to give it, you know, back to the person, but really get through that listening. But I think it's good practice. We all need to listen better, take things in, and these experiences are wonderful that way. So, thank you to Sheila, our wonderful leader, and good. Thanks. I just wanted to...